B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Thank you so much. Have a seat, Norm. Wow. It's so nice of you to stop by, and you...
Well, I want to drop by, show my respects, you know?
Well, you know, for you to bring a basket commemorating sort of the tough situation I'm in is really nice.
Yeah. Well, that's not what that is.
Well, what is this basket for?
Oh, this is an older basket. I procrastinate, as you know. And this is a basket I got you back in June.
You've had this basket since June?
Yeah.
I've seen you. You've been on the show like 3 times. Why didn't you ever give me the basket?
I keep forgetting it. But I wanted you to know I bought it. It was $60. And I wouldn't open it. I think it would smell. Well, there's a card also.
I see that. It says congrats on it. That's terrific.
I don't know. Can I read it?
Yeah, why not?
Congratulations, Conan, on finally securing your place as permanent host of The Tonight Show. That's something they can never take away from you. It is perhaps the shrewdest programming decision ever made by the NBC Brain Trust. Sure, the pressure is on, but if I know you, Conan O'Brien, miserable failure is not an option.
There you go, one of the great appearances by Norm Macdonald, who passed away yesterday. In my opinion, the funniest comedian ever. And given my age and how dug in I am in my ways, I probably will never find anyone as funny.
No, not stand-up. And not just naturally funny like that.
And not as brave, not as comfortable. Smart and comfortable. Comfortable in silences.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable in the awkward silences. So that's a shame.
And a legit great, like, as good as he was on stage with his uncomfortable stuff, his one-liner jokes, like I know at the end of each one of those episodes of that Norm Macdonald show on Netflix, he would just write like 7 or 8 bad jokes and have the guest read them, mm-hmm. and they were phenomenal.
We have to get the man, before the end of the show, we have to get the man great stuff. There is several on YouTube montages of his YouTube show when he had to do the man great read.
Okay.
Until they finally pulled the man great. It's something that you put over a grill, and his explanations of the man great, he would have comedians on that would be like legitimately double over, like crying laughing at his explanation of the man great.
Okay. All right. Well, I need to hear that, because that's one thing you've told me about and I have not gotten around to listening to.
Which, when you listen to podcasts and you hear all the terrible things that they talk about, all the ridiculous products, the idea that no one has the balls to do that but Norm Macdonald is...
And they probably loved it. Mangrade probably loved it. People were talking
until
about
they
it.
Pulled all their ads.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
but then when they pulled their ads, Norm really had at Mangrade. He really had Adam, but that's a shame.
All right, well, we'll obviously be paying tribute to him all morning long. Quick question, Fred, just to follow up on what we were saying before the break. You know, Hard Knocks is making some announcement Thursday at halftime during Thursday Night Football, and I was speculating that it could be a fan vote as to what team they wanted to follow. But then I was doing a little digging. There's also speculation as to that they might, instead of only formatting their show to be the preseason, that they might kind of do like the QB. Oh, what's the show that's on Amazon where they stay with a team for a season and then at the end of the season they air it? They did it with the Arizona Cardinals a while back. I forget what it's called, but
they should do it considering none of us know about it.
Well, but it's different because this has like the power of HBO and people now know it's Hard Knocks. The brand is, you know, a known name. And if they're going to make a big deal about it on Thursday Night Football, then that helps as well. But if they were to do that, Fred, if they were to switch to covering a team this season for the entire season and coming out with the video at the end, which team would you choose?
Well, this year, Jacksonville.
Absolutely, without question.
No, you see, I think Jacksonville is a great one. I think the Packers might be a better one. With everything going on with Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah, but you see, Rodgers is an overly aggressive dick. He's a passive dick.
Yeah.
Myers is an overly aggressive dick that never thinks he's wrong.
Myers losing. Okay, let's go through Jacksonville. Myers is losing his mind. He's never had to deal with any kind of people questioning him, and already that's weighing on him. He's getting into it with his coaching staff, which you can't hide. I mean, when that's happening,
I want cameras to see that.
Right. There's the Trevor Lawrence situation. How invested he is in this whole thing.
This poor kid who's won almost every game he's ever played in and is now getting screamed at more than likely on a daily basis.
Well, and based on his personality, how long is he going to care? You know, how long is I want to see the way the next 16 weeks affects this kid.
Yep.
You have the Shad Khan angle who said he was going to get very involved. Just how involved is he? Is he sitting in
just
meetings?
Just spend a day with Shad Khan on his private plane. I mean, just wherever that... Just follow him around.
You know Shad Khan and Lindsay Lohan, like, cross paths.
Oh, God, yes.
There's also the London angle, you know, the whole angle.
Yes.
But you see, here's why I would go with the Packers still. Is that Aaron Rodgers, we all know, is a dick. There's a lot of like ex-players who played with him who are now starting to feel free to come out and talk about what a dick he was while he was with them.
Yes.
Can you imagine the empowerment to be a dick that he is going to have if there's constant cameras around him?
Yeah.
But it's not, it's the way it's presented. I mean, Urban Meyer never thinks he's wrong. He's constantly.
Aaron Rodgers never thinks he's wrong.
It's the way it happens. Aaron Rodgers
he'd be
isn't
more
a yeller
snarky.
And a screamer.
Yeah,
yes.
Aaron Rodgers would be
Urban
more snarky.
Urban Meyer is just like pushing cameras, get that blank out of my face. You guys don't know. Aaron Rodgers is different.
And it would kill Urban Meyer to have the cameras there.
But here's the other part of it, Fred. Hard Knocks, from what I know, I believe that the owners and management have some sort of editorial say over what gets out there. Do the owners and management of the Packers like Aaron Rodgers right now? Because the Jacksonville owners and management will try to protect Urban Meyer and maybe cut out the bad stuff.
But the Packers
might want stuff out there that makes Aaron Rodgers look like an a-hole.
They don't have editorial control until the end of the season. And who knows what Shad Khan's going to think of Urban Meyer by the end of the season. I'm sticking with my Jacksonville.
I think either one you can't lose. You had mentioned Mike mentioned the Detroit Lions. I think that would be funny for an episode or two with Dan Campbell.
You get Campbell. He does it in his press conferences.
There's
nothing. I mean, I guess DeAndre Swift maybe being investigated for murder would be an interesting.
I think that might be slightly interesting.
Yeah. So but Dan Campbell, you're getting it's really the guys who don't want to do it that you want to see.
Jacksonville is the gift that would keep on giving every week.
Yeah.
And as a Patriots fan, it would be interesting to see this season behind the scenes, and also to know that Belichick would absolutely hate it. So that's an interesting one, too. That's in my top five, would be the Patriots.
But then, you know, they're trained not to say anything. Even the Alabama player yesterday talked about how Saban loved D's nuts jokes.
Yes, sure.
That's right.
So we have that audio.
Even in Alabama, well, he doesn't say much except for he's like, suck on this and grab these. That was the...
Still.
And it's funny imagining Nick Saban saying that, actually.
Yeah. Who's the running back for Oakland? At least last year, he was the starting running back.
Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs. I think he played for Alabama. One of those guys played for Alabama. Well, some guy in the pros played Alabama, and he was on the Dan Patrick show.
It's right here. Here it is.
Well, this is for me.
Saban is like, he likes to do a lot of like these nuts jokes. It's funny because like I haven't heard one of them since like middle school, and then Saban, when I went to college, Saban used to do it a lot.
So wait. Give me one here.
All right. So one day I caught like five passes in a row, and he was like, hey Josh, if you wanna. Hold all the balls, hold these. I said, what? So I just sat there. I sat there for a second. I was like, did he really just say that?
Wait. He was doing D's nuts to you?
Yeah. I was like, coach, I ain't heard that since middle school.
And then I guess Tua came on and said that, yeah, he's a big fan of D's Nuts jokes.
Jacobs did go to Alabama.
Okay, so that was Jacobs. Yeah. All right, so...
Well, so I think that needs to be to Tommy Curran and everyone who's listening right now. Next time you talk to Mac Jones, we need to find out what his experience with D's Nuts jokes are.
Like, yeah, just you can go up to him and go, how many D's did you have?
Or Barmore.
How many D's did you have? D's Nuts, get on them. Get on these nuts. All right. Well, that is it for...
D's Nuts.
Yeah, and I know that there's some people saying the Bucks. The more I think about it, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see behind the scenes because now we're even getting a TV show about how the greatness of Tom Brady again. It was awesome a couple years ago when he did that Tom versus Time, because up until then, you didn't really know what inside of his house looked like, some of his private life. Now we're almost getting too much Tom Brady. And I just don't care about behind the scenes with them right now. It's like too well-oiled a machine. If you want to give me anything, I would take... I mean, Jacksonville and the Packers are equal. And then I would go the Patriots. And then after that, I mean, I don't know if there's any other team that I would really care that much about.
Mm.
I wonder if that's what they're going to do. But hopefully they'll do something. Because Hard Knocks, when it has good material, can be a great show.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not interested in it anymore. I haven't been for a really long time, except for the when they had the fat guy from Cleveland on. That was the greatest.
Yeah, Wiley.
Wiley. All right, Rich, coming up, you have something.
Yeah, this is a story that has gone viral, and it's one that if you are involved in this, you need to run as fast as you can. Just run as far as you can from the subject of this story.
All right. I'm interested in hearing this. I've heard about this. I don't know what it is, but we'll talk about it in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, yeah. And like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is the man grate, you ask? Cast iron grilling grates.
Iron. You don't pronounce it iron.
That's what everybody tells me.
It's the iron horse. Like Lou Gehrig was the iron horse of baseball.
Yes.
The word iron is iron. Iron. No, iron. It should be iron. Yeah. That's what makes English the world's toughest language.
Yeah.
You know, right? Sure.
It is because the toughest language.
Toughest language
to me, it's the easiest. Cast iron.
Iron?
Cast iron grilling grates.
When you say iron?
You know what? Don't be like f***ing Larry King. That mother f***. I say iron and he's up my ass for 4 days.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The Toucher and Rich remembering Norm Macdonald with some of his very funny moments. Not hard to find. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Okay, so I know that you're probably very thankful as well as I am, is that although I didn't have to really do any much dating, unfortunately I kind of ended up marrying the first person I dated. But nowadays, everyone's using the old apps and stuff to get in relationships.
Very jealous.
And, yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's true.
Much simpler.
Yeah. I mean, the percentage of hooking up that people have done just from the old fashioned going to the bar and trying to meet someone, and with Tinder, I mean, it's got to be off the charts, right?
Oh, it's 1,000 times easier. And it all lends itself to what I was good at, which is. I was good on the phone, and I would be good on the text. Like, it's, you know, when you're not overly attractive, like, if I can get past the first thing, you know, maybe put a picture of myself with a puppy up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, holding a bunch of money or something, and then the girl goes, like, okay, now you're in my wheelhouse. Now I can, like, be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I have a friend who's single who's almost getting laid too much. But, like, he just, and he's like, it's the greatest thing ever because it's everything we did. It's everything we had to work for, trying to be funny, like making the girl laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, that I can do. So once we started communicating on the machine, and once by the time I met her, she would like me because I would have been funny.
Well, there is a woman, Fred, from Atlanta who has gone viral because she has met a boyfriend that she ended up meeting through Tinder. And after 2 weeks, she drafted a 17-page relationship contract that she wanted him to sign to sit down and make sure here are the rules of dating me. Now, she has since gone on social media and bragged about how smart she was for doing this, about how amazing the relationship is because she built this contract.
She's a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, which was the whole idea of the roommate contract. Okay.
Okay, and here she is on social media telling the story about just how well this has all worked out for her.
Now, I have this?
Yes, you have that clip.
Okay, let me find it. Mike, I do not have this clip, I don't believe. Well, okay. I do not have it. Mike said he didn't know anything about this clip.
Oh, okay. I thought we loaded it in like 3 days ago. I thought we had it like a couple days ago.
What would it be called?
Contract woman or something like that, possibly.
Spears fart.
Well, can we just hear Mark Spears farting again?
Well, yeah. I can do that while Mike gets it.
Was going to win a championship when Kevin Durant signed. Didn't Bill Russell
That's
win?
That's not applicable
10 of them?
To the
Didn't win the Lakers
to the Bulls?
When the Lakers...
Whoa.
When the
Lakers. Guilty. I mean, while we're at it, I can do that.
Wow.
Sure. Where's the other one, too, where he gets, like, extremely fired up? Isn't there a second Mark Spears fart, I believe?
I got farts. Come on, Rich.
You got farts?
What do you want, farts?
That's right.
Let's see here. I mean, this is some kind of fart.
Sorry.
Oh, that's...
Hey, Joey. Aaron Boone said that he...
To Joey, what's his name from the Yankees?
Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo in his opening press conference, I think after his first game. It's the very first thing. He sits down, the mics are cracked, and he makes that sound right there, Fred.
I have...
What's up?
And they said, and Marshall Hook said, I have some time this summer. I'm going to take a dude's trip.
Fair enough.
You just go through all the farts.
Yeah. Where'd Mike go?
All right. Well, you know what? While we're waiting.
Oh, here he is.
That's right.
No. He can get it. Oh, okay. Here he is.
Thank you, Mike. Here. I appreciate it. I think that is a lack of communication by me. But no, she has written up a contract, and I'm looking at some of the contract right here. Do you have it there,
all right,
Mike?
Okay. Here is her talking about the contract. All right. Here we go.
I feel like most of you guys are already pretty familiar with my relationship because I'm just constantly milking it for content on this app. But a lot of people are always like, oh, you guys are so cute. Where did you get him? And the answer is Tinder. We met on Tinder.
How hot is she?
She's like a six.
Yeah. Okay, because I'm not putting up with this voice for very long.
Well, I was about to say, the vocal...
Less than that.
The vocal fry is driving me insane.
Yeah, because that's not how she would talk normally.
Yeah. And everyone's obsessed with my relationship. She's not being sarcastic, by the way.
She's in just... Well, when the girl is trying to become famous on social media, that's a big red flag. I'm not saying don't have sex with these women, but like if she was really hot and she was like, sign this relationship contract, I'd be like, oh, yeah, all right, here, I signed the contract, let's have sex. And then I would leave the relationship.
You went against code 15.
Yeah, it's okay.
Paragraph 3.
All right.
Yep, I did.
Yeah, especially at my age. Like, yeah, okay. What do you want me to sign? Yeah, all right, I'll sign it. Okay, here we are. Now we have sex? Okay. Well, guess what? I'm not trying. This is me on my back, finishing quick.
Which you're allowed to do, according to page 17 of the contract.
Well, regardless of the contract, I mean, I'm only human. I mean, you cannot demand physical output from me. But because already with the online stuff in the voice, because really, if you wanted me to sign a relationship contract, if you're really good looking and have like fake breasts, like guys are going to sign the contract. and like the thing is, though, is that... I mean, what could the contract bind me to? I mean, just rules of the relationship that then the relationship would end. I mean, you would get no money from me. I mean, it's not a legal document.
Well, I don't know if she included any of that.
Well, even if she did, I don't think you could just draw up something like, hey, you're going to owe me $5,000. Okay, all right, sure. Well, I want my $5,000. No.
We met on Tinder, the infamous, like, hookup app. Yeah, that's where we met. But what you guys probably don't know is that, like, a month after we first met, we drafted up relationship terms and conditions. So I'll just take you guys through that. I'm not going to read it all because, like, cringe, but there's objectives. Honesty, communication, awareness of partner's needs, clarity, and, I don't know, does that say alignment of your intentions? We drafted up boundaries, saying no, prying. You know, these are my boundaries. Further down in there, it says Emma comes before anyone and anything in my life, my dog. So these are his.
These seem very necessary comments. Very necessary. You can always point. And Lord knows, if you're in an argument with a woman and you point to the document and you go, hey, you're breaking this rule, they'll immediately acquiesce. Yes.
That's right. Like, oh, you're right.
Darn it, I am bound.
Right. Because being in a marriage, of course, you could have had a million conversations about this is okay, and then the minute it's not okay, yeah, there's a lot of, wait a second, but it's in the contract. And they'll reasonably go, they'll take a step back. Women often admitting they're wrong.
He said the important information pack. You know, these are his, like, boundaries. No, I'm no relationship therapist or anything, but I feel like this has helped us avoid issues that I see other people dealing with all the time. Like, people are like, my boyfriend doesn't buy me flowers. You're like, how am I supposed to hint to him I want something? I literally wrote in a contract, ideally I would like to see a romantic gesture once every 2 weeks to a month, and I will return the favor.
Well, and obviously, it's sincere then. If it's, like, actually on the checklist.
And by the way,
sincere.
And by the way, you don't want flowers that often. You don't.
Romantic gesture.
You want a challenge. You don't want him doing that. Then you have nothing to complain about. Half the fun of women in relationships is they get to complain about their significant other. It gives you nothing to complain about. You'll have to really be searching. What are you and your friends going to get together and yell about?
Someone said she's from Kennesaw. So at what point is a contract page number 13? We are forced to chase minorities out of town.
If she's from Kennesaw, that means she went to Kennesaw State, which means she's a stripper, which means that half of this is misspelled. The legal document's in crayon if she's from Kennesaw. If you live in an apartment complex by Kennesaw State, that means there's a bunch of girls from Kennesaw State, which means at night they're not there because they're stripping, and then on the weekends they're tanning. It's a good place to be.
What we would like to do with our future together. Now, I will admit this is absolutely psychotic to write up 2 weeks after meeting somebody on Tinder, but y'all seem to eat up our relationship, so this is what we did. It is crazy. But if you want to agree to a contract, how do you know what you're signing yourself up for? Like, you don't want to throw yourself into a one-year-long commitment, and you don't even know what, like, the terms and conditions are. I need to know the rules here. And thus, Michael and I have hardly fought. I mean, we just kind of refer back to what we've agreed to do.
Well, that is...
In 2 weeks, they've hardly fought.
Well, listen, if you want to have a year-long relationship, you have to set these ground rules. It sounds a lot like an S&M situation. The safe word will always be potato.
Yeah.
And then that means stop. But I have to say potato 3 times. And then you must remove it.
You can't say that with a gag ball in your mouth.
Or I'll have to knock 3 times. Yeah. Ah, but my hands are tied.
I mean, there's red flags and then there's red hammers. And this is one when you get handed it. And I'm looking at the guy in these pictures. And oh, he looks extremely happy to be there. He doesn't look like a prisoner at all. Or even someone who enjoys this relationship.
Oh, well, they're dorks. What's it? They're 2 weeks together and they already have a picture of them in a suit?
Yes. They're already doing, like, hired photographer photos.
Oh, well, this is the guy's fault. This is the guy's fault. He's too young. He's too young for this shenanigans.
Clause number 4, ignoring each other. A, this does not apply to workaholic mode. However, I would like a courtesy text before you disappear. B, during a fight, if I cannot reach you for longer than 2 days, I will assume we are done. C, being ignored is my biggest pet peeve, and I will not send 100 texts begging you to talk about things. I will simply take the hint and move on.
Well, this relationship is better than mine. You get to leave for a day? I mean, all she wants is a text? It's the greatest relationship of all time. I'd sign that thing in 5 seconds. I have to explain where I'm going when I leave the house. I'm going to get gas. When are you going to be back? I'd sign that. Go have kids and then find out how much freedom you have. This seems like a... she is a... First of all, I can't believe they had professional pitchers taken. I mean, these are two idiots. But listen, if she was hot enough, I'd sign anything she wanted me to sign.
No, well, I would say that that's probably not the case.
No, she seems just like someone that...
She's there.
Yeah, someone that would... You know, have go on to have an average.
I'm seeing a lot about like her part of the contract, but I'm seeing none of the things she's talking about. She's kind of blew over the part where his stuff was in there.
But the thing that is that, like,
I just wonder how much he really gets out of this. It's written down.
Just leave. Done.
Yeah, I mean, she was probably like, "Hey, you know," he was probably all excited, and she was like, "You know, sign this," and then he was like, "Okay." I don't like. He's, I mean, what do I? Yeah, sign. I'll sign anything. Let's have sex.
So it said, can the Batgirl boys do an over under on how long until he breaches the contract?
These seem very reasonable rules. I mean, he gets to leave for 2 days.
you're hung up on that.
Yeah, I mean, all he has to do is text her once in 2 days.
The only damage if he breaks the contract is the relationship's off. That's the only damage.
Well, yeah, she can't. It's not like a lawyer drew it up. I mean, none of this has to be followed. There's no penalty except the relationship's over.
That's too bad.
I mean, the guy gets to leave. Can you imagine you have to leave for 2 days and all you have to do is text? And if I don't text you for 2 days, I'm going to assume the relationship's over and I'm not going to text you a bunch of times. Well, yes, you should assume that.
I have to think that there's obviously nothing better, too, than being in a relationship where, and I know this actually happens a lot, it's like, we're within like a couple weeks, I need to know where this is going. Like, all right, man.
That's true. You never had to deal with that.
Had to deal with that, but I have friends who like would go on like their second date and they'd be like, I need to know where this is going.
Yeah.
Like if this is something real. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
I totally didn't think about that.
Well, think
had
about
to deal
it.
With that.
Is that you have chicks.
Oh, my God.
Well, think about this. Is that, and you got divorced. How old were you when you got your divorce, John?
29, 30.
Okay, 30. And then how old were you when you got remarried?
39.
Okay, so you had a chunk there in your 30s.
Yes, that's correct.
So you have to remember, like, once you get to 35, like, girls are freezing their eggs, and girls are, like, wanting to have kids. So they are, you know, they want to know, like, they don't want to waste 2 years, you know, from 35 to 37 not having a kid and then have you walk away. So, yeah, they want to know up front. But then again, if you're the guy... Like, you know, when you want to have sex with them all the time, you're probably like, yeah, in 2 years, I'm still going to want to have sex with you all the time. And then, you know, a year and a half later, you like anything you say at the beginning of a relationship is all based on you wanting to have sex with them. And then that gets old. And then that's when the relationship kicks in.
Okay. Yes. But having somebody on your second date say, I want to know where this is going.
But again, Rich,
is a run, don't walk situation.
No, but all of that is just background noise. Like, okay, yeah. All right. Where is it going? Well, yeah, we'll get married someday. Because you think that. Because you want to have sex with them. And you think you're always going to want to have sex with them. And then when you don't have sex with them, then when you get sick of having sex with them, that's when the relationship kicks in. That's when, like, the fights and everything. Dude, like, we're not supposed to, as humans, be in these monogamous relationships for 20, 30 years. We're not, especially as men. We are designed, and this is true, we are designed at an evolutionary level to procreate and to want to procreate as many people as possible. It's not a mystery why, like, it's way more fun to have sex with someone, like, the first time than it is the thousandth time. I mean, it's just the way that we're built. There's nothing we can do about it. So you're fighting your natural instincts as a man to stay in a monogamous relationship.
I had a friend of mine who was dating a girl, and she said that he only gave her one rule, and it was, don't ask me where I work. And he said that he didn't even bother to find out. He ended up breaking off the relationship.
That would freak him out. Like anything that you got sketchy friends,
yep.
Or
like when you talk about red flags, that was one of the biggest.
That's a red flag in that like I could get in trouble. Like I don't want to get like you have like a million cousins that are going to come like fight me or something. Like that's that's like an immediate threat to my health. But right. Any long term thing. I mean, that's the great thing. You meet someone and you really like them. You're like, I can't believe this person likes me too. And we're having sex. I mean, you think, yeah, we could get married. Of course you think that. And then the minute you get tired of banging them is when everything kicks in and you got to start. That's when the evaluation starts. In your mind, you'll sign anything.
Boy, Rich, you missed out. That's the fun part, man.
Yeah, I know. I've actually...
That, the thrill a minute when you get to that point.
Yeah, that sucks.
But Rich is, has a... but what Rich has is a no doubt. Like, Rich never doubts.
Right, yeah.
Because it's because he can't.
Nope.
Because it's almost a family member. Mm-hmm. Not in a gross way, but it's like a family member. It's it's like he's been with this person for so long. It's a family member. And so the struggles of the relationship don't, I mean, they've known each other since they hit puberty.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, right. So in the scope of his life, did he miss out on a lot of stuff that's fun? Yeah.
Doesn't sound like hearing these stories.
there is some fun stuff involved.
I think there's some yin and some yang, sure.
The greatest feeling in the world is meeting someone and going, I can't believe this person likes me back. And being so excited to be with them and having sex with them. It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having sex with this person. And wanting to know if they're going to call you and worrying if they're going to call you. That is great. It's wonderful, but it wears off,
mm-hmm.
and it wears off for everyone.
Then you've got to meet their friends that you don't like, and you've got to.
Well, that's when relationships end,
right?
But at 2 weeks into a relationship, you throw me some contract, I'll sign it. I mean, if I'm like having fun, like I'll sign that in 10 seconds.
How would you feel about like dating somebody who wants to put everything you do online?
I would not do that.
Not a chance.
Yeah,
I would not marry them because I've seen that happen before, and they've all gotten divorced because I knew they would.
No.
And there's two people you knew that I immediately knew they would get divorced, and they both work in radio, and their wives wanted to be a part of it. And part of the reason the wives married them is because the guy was in radio,
and then they realized that hey, maybe we don't want the world to know everything that we do.
No, and also like. Maybe like I'm not like at a certain point, like you're going to be dissatisfied with the success you've had because you're not talented enough to do it on your own. And it's not going to be going the way you want to go. And you're going to get mad at me about it. And then, here we are. No, I'm the one who's the public person, the person that I was with, unless they had their own career. Like, for instance, if I married the weather woman on Fox 25. And like if something happened and in years our spouses were gone and
thought this through.
It was like a Full House situation.
Sure,
like
hypothetically speaking,
like if Sherry Spears and I were to meet, like if something unfortunate happened to both of our spouses, we were to meet and to fall in love.
Uh-huh.
Then I would go, okay, well you're the weather woman at Fox. I'm just giving that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like Felger with his wife, like when she was on Fox, like she earned that herself. Like that's what she does. That's separate from Felger. But if I'm with you and you've never done anything and you've never been in anything in the public eye, and all of a sudden like you want a column in some blog because of me, and you want to make your Instagram like because of me,
want to own a newspaper.
Who did that?
John Henry's wife is who he's talking about.
Oh, well, if you're John Henry and you marry a younger woman, what do you think she's with you for?
Yes.
I mean, you just got to accept
it. Shot. Poor folly, certainly.
Unless you marry some heiress, I mean, you're marrying a younger woman that wouldn't have looked at you twice if you were a garbage man. All right. We'll break. If you have any thoughts on this, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up. They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. for 400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
I hate my job. Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found this backstage, oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a, you know, a normal hat.
I see that. Get back to your podium.
Take a look at that.
Yeah, I see it. Go back to your podium. It's not funny. And the category is, you know what? I tell you what, just write a number. Any number. Any number and you win. Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah, don't bother. I didn't write anything.
Good work. All right.
985 The Sports Hub. The death of Norm Macdonald, the funniest human being I believe that ever lived.
Well, you and I have always been in agreement that he was the best Weekend Update anchor.
Well, I mean,
by far.
It's not even a conversation.
But
in hearing him talk about it, they wanted him to work with a woman at one point. And he goes, no. And then he goes, then I don't want to do it. And then Lauren's like, well, the woman will be sex. And, you know, you'll have that thing. And he goes, no. And he goes, you know, I remember when Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd did it, and it was stupid. It was awful. And I don't like it. And so then Steve Martin came in to guest host, and I guess Lauren really looks up to Steve Martin. And Lauren went, you know, Steve, what do you think about, you know, the woman? And Steve's like, didn't care at all. He's like, I don't, let Norm do what he wants. Then Norm was given the keys to that.
It's weird because yesterday when I was watching all these clips, I had forgotten about some of the other sketches that he did. And I totally forgot that he was Bob Dole. Remember, he was the
rap dude,
which I think Bob Dole. Didn't Bob Dole send out a tweet yesterday?
Yes, like, with a picture of them standing together. And
so did Frank Stallone, who is the butt of a lot of Norm Macdonald's jokes.
Yes.
On Weekend Update.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a non-conversation. I mean, it's Weekend Update's fine, and then there's Norm Macdonald where it was brilliant. And that is, and it's funny because he talks about that cast, and while they were on, everyone hated that cast, and New York Magazine, like, hung out. He said, and then they did a photo shoot with Farley, and Farley, they had Farley like holding a TV on his head and all this stuff. And then the New York Magazine article comes out, and it's like, is Saturday Night Live dead? And it's all about like how not funny these guys are. And he's like, well, no one was funnier than Farley. And, you know,
because that was Farley, Sandler, Norm Macdonald,
David Spade,
Chris Rock, Rob Schneider. I'm trying to think who else was on that
cast.
What
he thinks the problem with that cast was is that they hired all stand-ups and that they didn't get actors.
See, that's crazy because Sandler was a great character actor. Well, like, he would develop characters. He was a great skit actor. But Farley was the best skit actor.
Well, Farley was the only one that wasn't a stand-up. And so what he said was, everyone was used to like talking to the camera, so they would write these skits, and then they would be like, "Ah," and then like end up crumpling them up because they, you know, they weren't actors. He didn't want to act; he wanted to be a stand-up.
I watched,
it didn't break his heart when they fired him from Saturday Night Live.
I watched a compilation yesterday, and it was like close to 15 minutes long of Norm Macdonald's OJ jokes, just all of his OJ jokes from Weekend Update. And what makes it so amazing, first of all, the jokes are great, but what makes it so amazing is knowing that behind the scenes, he's being told by the head of NBC, who is friends with O.J. Simpson.
West Coast, Don Ollenheimer, who is the head of the West Coast of NBC, who is friends with O.J. Simpson. And so Norm then gets fired, and a year and a half later, he comes to host, and he comes back and he goes, you know, they told me I wasn't funny. And so, you know, but here I am a year and a half later hosting Saturday Night Live. And I can tell you this is you can't get funny in a year and a half. I mean, that's not long enough. So what happened is this show sucks. So now, because the show sucks, everything you're going to see after this sucks. So now that the show sucks, now I can come back and host. Snoop Dogg is here. And that was the end of the monologue. So, yeah, just, and the one guy that, and the guys that do it now are a little content, but times have changed with a little discomfort in the audience, but Norm perfectly fine, again, with the audience being uncomfortable and shifting in their seats and relishing in it. And it's funny because when you do comedy like that right, it's something that, like, 10 years later, people go, well, that was the greatest. And at the time, they were uncomfortable with it.
Well, also in a type of profession where everybody is very self-conscious and they care more than most what other people think of them, he was honestly a guy that gave zero Fs.
He did not care.
He didn't care.
Well, look at his Twitter. Most people use Twitter to promote themselves and tell jokes, and he just was like, I'm watching golf at home, and I want to talk about golf. And this is how I want to use this medium.
Live tweet golf.
And he wasn't doing it to be ironic, and nope. He wasn't doing anything. He was just like, I like golf, and I'm sitting here watching it. And so this is what I want to talk about. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
How do you keep that secret for 9 years, man, that you're dealing with cancer? 9 years he's been dealing with that.
Yeah, just he didn't want people to judge him. They didn't want him to, when he was on stage, to go, oh, boy, this guy's got cancer and feel sorry for him. So, I mean, he told people. He just didn't let it be known publicly. All right, we'll be back. Brandon Merriweather, we're very excited to have him. He seems very excited on social media to come back. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.